The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama. Sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store. An interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
They're gonna pry these guns right out of my hands when they come to take them away. I believe in the rights that my fathers gave me when he signed the Constitution that day. No misguided president or crooked politician with a greasy pocket, be spared. When the hard-working man gets tired of your cry, it's gonna rain wrath, beware. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. You're not gonna take it away. I'll stand up and fight for my freedoms and rights. That's a price you'll have to pay. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. Red-blooded to the core. You ain't ever had a fight in your life like a fight that you're.
All right, welcome to Armed Alabama. Glad you could join us tonight. This, of course, is our favorite show, 7 p.m. on 106.5. There's not a better show than this in this time frame, just letting you know. Of course, this is your show for self-defense, firearm and ammo selection, home protection, concealed carry, training, proper range etiquette, and, of course, the law. Alabama law, Florida law, Mississippi law, and federal law. Want to thank everybody that listens to us across the Gulf Coast. That's why we touch on Florida and Mississippi law as well as Alabama law. And of course, I'm Adam Strange, NRA law enforcement instructor, and joining me is the judge, Rusty Johnson.
Here I am.
The hanging judge.
I wish.
And, of course, if you want to watch us on Facebook, we are also simulcasting on Facebook Live, and that is Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. Please like, save, and follow while you're there. Make sure you message us and tell us how this show stinks, or you can tell us how you really like it. Either way, we're glad to have you here with us tonight and on Facebook. Also, we have a special show tonight because we have a local group. It's the Alabama Overland Southwest Group, and in the studio joining us tonight is Travis and Kathy Rayner, Thomas Mahoney, and later on in the show, Alan Bailey will be calling us on the phone. So this is a group where specializing in overland travel, which is basically outdoor travel. Travis, you may have a better explanation than I am. I think this is something we've been discussing over the last several years. What exactly is overland travel?
Sounds like adventure to me.
It is. It's kind of adventure travel, outdoor adventure travel.
Yes, it is. And, you know, historically speaking, overlanding got its roots back in Australia, where the term was used to describe ranchers driving the herds of cattle across the open plains where there was nothing. So these people were literally overlanding, meaning that they were camping as they went along their merry way and making roads as they went. Fortunately, in today's overlanding community, we don't have to make our own roads because there's plenty of them out there for us to use.
Yeah, and I always look at it as vehicle-based travel. So you're basically dependent on everything that you have in your vehicle. You're not staying in hotels. You're not dependent on nothing but gas stations. So you take all your supplies, all your gear you need, and you're totally sufficient on your vehicle.
If you look also, if you harken back to the Americas back in the 10s and 20s and 30s, you know, especially the 20s where you didn't have rest stops, you didn't have hotels as we do now. So as groups or family
didn't
groups
even have
or individuals.
Internet in the car, I understand.
No, you didn't have internet in the car either. So if you were going from one place to another, if it took more than a day, guess what? You just pulled off on the side of the road.
You were overlanding.
You were camping or whatever, you know, especially picking up whatever roadkill along the way for dinner, you know.
Nothing better than good roadkill.
So when we're talking, of course, we're talking about overland travel, and of course, camping goes along with that as well. And we just before we went on the air, we were talking about the term prepping, and really nobody likes that term so much because it always maybe connotates a negative image of some bald-headed, goatee, eyeglass-wearing.
Hello?
But, you know, sometimes it can connotate a negative image. But
it
the thing,
should be Boy Scouts. Be prepared.
That's exactly right, and that's kind of what it is. It's traveling but being self-sufficient, so that prepping mindset goes along with it. It's a lot of cross-pollination between all of those, between camping, outdooring, overland travel, hiking, you know, fishing or whatever.
Yeah, well, very true, because many times if you're out where there's no electricity, there's no running water, there's no McDonald's to go grab a sandwich from, you've got to make sure you have everything you need to be able to sustain yourself while you're traveling the backcountry. And so that means preparing ahead for having plenty of water, whether it be for drinking or bathing or other purposes. You also have to have it for your cooking. You got to have meals that don't necessarily have to have refrigeration, but with modern-day technology, that's easy to do, too. So things are getting easier for the overland and camping folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, along with Travis here, we have Thomas. And Thomas has got a really good setup. So that's going to kind of segue into my next thing here. And to have that travel or to do that travel, you have to have a vehicle pretty much – a competent four-wheel drive. It can be lots of different things like Toyotas. Thomas has
one without the sensors that does your tire pressure sensors that are always going off.
go on to blink.
Which we could disconnect those.
But it can be, you know, it can be truck or it can be an SUV. It can be a Toyota or that piece of junk I got, Mitsubishi. No, I'm just kidding. It's a pretty good vehicle. But it doesn't make a difference. I mean, there's lots of people, and the gravitation, I think, is people, I think they're buying more and more stuff, and that kind of perpetuates. There's a big industry behind this. Yeah. And so they're buying more and more stuff, and they wake up one day and it's like, oh, my FJ or my little FJ40 or whatever is not doing the job anymore. So you see people kind of gravitating towards four-wheel drive trucks medium-sized trucks.
And Thomas is the king of
stuff.
I am the king of stuff.
Well, it's fun to have the gear, but there's also a purpose to that. So not only having a vehicle, but you may have a overland travel trailer or whatever. So Thomas, if you will, just briefly give us a summary of your setup and what you think works about it and maybe what you may have done would have done different.
It's basically a 2014 FJ Cruiser and with pretty extreme modifications to it.
I was looking for you to drive it tonight. You know, we could snap some pictures of it. We could snap some pictures of it and post it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it's going through some major modifications right at the moment. Because when you get into some areas, you start the quality of the ride. You know, you don't want to tear up your vehicle, and you don't want to tear up your back. So if you're doing some areas where you're in the desert and you're pulling a heavy load, suspension is everything. You want to make sure that the modifications do not get you're not underspending, but you're getting the right equipment. You want to make sure that the vehicle is going to get you there and get you back. I built a expedition trailer. You'll see a lot more expedition trailers out there with rooftop tents on them.
Oh, yeah.
To where you can actually pull your gear, and it's a separate component, and you can drop it off, hit base camp, and then go do that exploring. A lot of people
get out of this muggy area of the country. be very comfortable.
And going out west, you end up going through a lot of desert regions, a lot of state parks, a lot of national parks, and you're in a whole backcountry where there's nothing out there, but the terrain's fairly rough, and you can set up camp, and there's some beautiful locations where you can go see some really extreme views. And that's where you want to go. That's when you want to get there. You want to be able to see that sunset or that sunrise.
Yeah, and it's just really amazing. Just something to be said about getting out into the wild where there's not a lot of people and just just relax, you know, and enjoy nature.
We're talking four-wheel drive. Let's talk winches, too. I assume you have some kind of winch or not.
Yes. I have a 12,000-pound winch on the front of it.
Yep.
And the recovery gear is essential because if you're out there by yourself and you need to get it, you don't have anybody else to ride.
I've had that
behind
experience a few times. That's right. And it's funny. I went to some Australian websites that really gave the best advice on what kind of recovery gear to get. Mm-hmm. And I when you said that, I thought, well, that's funny because every place I was hitting was there. But we got to go to a break, folks. We'll be right back. Give us a call, 343-0106, Armed Alabama.
Hang on the line, Mike. We'll get to you after the break.
Like the hippies out in San Francisco do. I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares can have a ball.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
You smell that? Napalm, son. Nothing else in the world smells like that. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Charlie,
smells
don't start
like victory. All right.
Love that movie.
Over to you. Welcome back to Armed Alabama. I think we have a caller.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike. Mike's calling in from Daphne. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Armed Alabama.
Man, what's happening?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, I hear that. I have a question. I'm a retired veteran, and I bought a shotgun 12-gauge at a pawn shop in Daphne over here.
Okay.
And it took 5 days for a background check. In my understanding of the law, it only takes 3 days for a handgun. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it actually should only just take a few minutes.
I was going to say 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I would start getting complaints because they so-called instant background. The only thing I can think of is they either weren't online or there was some kind of problem. A lot of people, you know, some people's names, you know, my name's John Stun. The clerk will write it down as John's son, and that'll get tagged with 42 people that have problems, and then it has to sort its way through the system. That's the only reason I can think of it would
A real good answer.
Yeah, well, it's not. Yeah, I mean, you should have just not bought it because I don't think I've ever not walked out of a store in the past, since they've done this instant background check with the firearm.
Yeah, there's no 3-day wait period. There's no.
No, not anymore.
No, you purchase your firearm and you leave. As a matter of fact, if you have your concealed carry permit from Alabama, you don't even have to have a background check. You just show them the permit. And
it's been done.
If the business so chooses, they use that as your background check and you walk out with a firearm.
I see.
But anyway, you got your shotgun, right?
Dang right.
Is it semi-auto or pump?
It's a pump.
Okay. Do yourself a favor. I've talked about it on another show. Get you some low recoil buckshot for it. So, it'll kill just as well as anything else, but it'll take a little bit of kick, off your shoulder.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Appreciate you calling, Mike. Thank you so much.
Oh, you bet. Bye.
So just before we went to the break, Judge, you were talking about
winches. Yeah.
And so Thomas has got some really good answers on different types
Thomas
of winches.
About, number one, about the new synthetic rope.
Yes.
And what he thought about that. And let's go ahead, because that's something that I like, but I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah, a lot of people, we're always traditional with the steel rope or steel cable on winching. And now with the synthetics, it's stronger and a lot safer. Steel holds a lot of kinetic energy, and when it breaks, it can literally take off a limb or can kill you. Mm. And that's the one thing that I always run synthetic, because with synthetic, when it breaks, it's going to drop to the ground. You don't have that recoil. And then, vehicle-based travel, that's one of the things that we're always concerned about is recovery. And we always try and go into a group.
Yeah.
If you're going to be by yourself, at least be able to self-recover.
Right.
When you know
what you're doing, number one.
Yeah, make sure you know what you're doing, because there are classes, there's videos out there, and that's very important in vehicle recovery, because you're dealing with a very large piece of equipment that can be in a precarious situation.
Yeah.
And
if you do the wrong move, A1, you could get body damage to the vehicle, be very costly to you, and then you can get hurt.
And so, you could be in a lot of mud, and let's say your exhaust, you know, gets stopped up, a lot of things.
Yeah, there's been several times that we've gotten, especially on Facebook, and got, you know, SOSs from people like, come help me, because they went out and they just thought they could just go do whatever.
Like I was telling you, they kind of pushed the limits because they knew they had all this stuff.
And that's true. That's a good point, too, is to, especially vehicle-based travel, when you're prepping, when you're planning a trip, the vehicle you have, the suspension, your accommodations for your family, you got to know your limits. You have to know how much your vehicle can tow, how much you can carry, how much fuel mileage you have, especially going out west. You know, some people just don't think about putting an extra gallon of gas in the vehicle, and that can get you to the next gas station, because you can go some remote areas where you got to get that point of no return.
Yeah.
So safety is a big concern in this vehicle-based travel. Everything from self-protection, you know, from the elements around you, from critters, two-legged, four-legged, everything.
And a lot of people, you know, they'll get all of this stuff, but they won't understand their ground clearance. And, you know, I'm using my truck in a lot of places where there's it's cut over territory. And so you may have some stumps that are there, and, you know, you may have everything to get you out of whatever. But if your axles hit a stump that's not rotten, you know, you got a problem.
Yeah. And you can damage, I mean, you can cause a lot of costly damage to your vehicle.
Yeah, especially nowadays with automatic transmissions. I mean, you've got 7-8 speed automatic transmissions, and, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, you know, if you mess it up, and by the time you get a new one or have it rebuilt and replaced, you know, by professionals.
Mm-hmm.
My four-wheel drive seems so complicated. I'm really not sure how to use it. So, I needed it very often.
But, Thomas, you made really good points on weight of the vehicle, how much you can load it, what you can tow, because when you get camping gear and everything you need for the great outdoors, it doesn't take long to either meet or exceed, you know, your gross vehicle weight, and that's very important. And that's why you see so many four-wheel drive, overland-type vehicles where they are beefing up their suspension, bigger, heavier shocks and springs, and doing what they can to be able to carry that extra weight, you know, ice chests or 12-volt coolers or what have you, rooftop tents or whatever. As far as camping gear, Travis, if you can give us a real quick, maybe a summary of some of the base camping gear you might need. You don't, you know, so many times, how many times have we heard from people to say, well, just as soon as I get this and this and this, I'm going to come out there, you know, or I'm going to go and take this trip or whatever. Well, you don't need thousands of thousands of dollars investment. So what are some really good camping things that you need to be able to go out? And it doesn't have to be, you know, souped up four-wheel drive. It can be a Subaru. I know you ran a Subaru for a while, you and your wife, Kathy,
right,
who is here in the studio, by the way. I'll call her out. But y'all used a Subaru for some point in time, and y'all did not only tent camping, but you did hammock camping. So what's some of the basic essentials that an individual or a small family or whatever may need just to get out in the wilderness for a weekend or whatever, just to kind of get away from the hustle and bustle?
Well, to start with, and for me, first and foremost, food's always high on the list, you know. But I got to sleep good at night. And when you start talking about camping, you know, because that ties right into overlanding, a lot of people have this image of folks laying on the ground sleeping on a rock, and that's not the case. Well, it's not the case for me anyway. So I like to make sure that I'm comfortable. So it doesn't make any difference if we're in our camper or if we're in a tent or if we're in a hammock. I'm sleeping really comfortable. So you want to be able to get a good night's sleep. Food, really important. And you don't have to have high-tech cooking equipment. For $20, you can have a cook stove that'll cook anything you want. Basic utensils, things to eat, canned foods are quick and easy. So all that stuff comes together easy, but so many people complicate it, myself included, and we get more and more and more. But when you get down to the very basics, you don't have to have really high-tech stuff to have a great time out in the woods, on the side of the road, back in Forest Service roads. It's great. Just make it easy, make it simple, but make sure you have the basics covered.
What about Indian protection? What do you do?
I run. Surrender.
You just have to run faster than you. Right.
Yes.
And so Travis, of course, is being modest about the cooking, but him and his wife Kathy, they really go out as far as cooking. But y'all do a lot of one pot meals, and I mean just really good hearty meals. It's easy. Relatively easy to prepare, and prepare in a Dutch oven or a kettle right over the fire. And
yeah, we enjoy doing the Dutch oven cooking using the camping style Dutch oven, and we do everything from one pot meals. It's got your meat and your veggies and everything in it. We take that same Dutch oven, turn it around, and cook a really nice apple cobbler for dessert. And we're doing all that using charcoal, so we're not using gas stoves or anything like that. It works out real well. There's an art to it. That's a whole nother hobby.
Or cooking bacon, right? Trying to set the woods on fire cooking bacon. And I'm going to call out Cody if he's listening.
Ooh,
We've got some good pictures of Cody trying to signal a spaceship or something with the fire that he had cooking bacon.
Yeah, that bacon grease will get hot. I think they've got images of that from the shuttle up there flying around somewhere. So the space stations.
I like ashes in my eggs.
if you don't have pepper, you use ashes.
That's it.
So, that's really good. So far as cooking, what about tents? We mentioned hammocks or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's a good tent to purchase to buy? Or maybe a good price range, one individual tent.
If you're looking at a couple, you need like a minimum, for me, a three-person tent. But you can start out at about $50 for a real inexpensive tent and go up from there. So, again, that's a whole nother subject in itself, but a good simple tent that'll keep the rain out.
Yeah, I assume you want – well, we've got to go to a break, folks. Remember, our number here is 251-343-0106. Give us a call, and we'll talk to you after our short break.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I own this establishment. Bought it from Greeley for $1,000.
You better clear out of there.
Yes, sir. Just hold it right there. Hold it!
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself. He's going to decorate his saloon with my friend.
What is the name of that movie? I never can remember it.
Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. Yeah. That's a scene that, you know, I normally like Gene Hackman, and he did a good job in the movie, but, you know, it's one of those I wanted to shoot him after it was over.
Yeah.
So,
well, that lets you know he did a good job.
Yeah, he did a good job. I want to thank Steve Moore, personal injury attorney. If you need a personal injury attorney, just want to talk about the case, talk to Steve Moore. He's located downtown on Dearborn Street, and you can visit him on the web. That's probably the best thing to do, www.moorelawfirm, that was all one word, -al.com. Steve Moore.
Anyways, while we're talking about camping and outdoor, definitely go to McCoy Outdoors.
Absolutely.
Where they have all kind of outdoor gear and equipment, as well as firearms, anything that you need. And
cooking stuff.
Exactly. Of course, when I and his group, we all went out west, Travis and Thomas and Alan, when I went to get my bear spray, as well as some more potent stuff, I went to McCoy Outdoors and got my bear spray there. So they absolutely have everything there. So definitely when you go in to see McCoy Outdoors, tell them you heard about them from Armed Alabama.
Yeah, the reason we're laughing about bear spray is most people think it's stronger than regular pepper spray to, you know, shoot a robber with. And it's not, because, you know, the government don't want you hurting their bears. So just keep that in mind. A lot of people get it because it shoots a long way.
It does.
You can find plenty of pepper spray products that'll shoot 25 feet.
Absolutely.
But don't buy wasp spray.
No.
It does not work.
That is a myth.
Right.
So let's go ahead and go to our callers on the phone lines. Here is Mike's from Grand Bay. Welcome to Armed Alabama.
How you doing?
All right, sir. What you got for us?
All right. The voice is getting a little better.
Now, what anyway, did you ever go to the doctor?
I did, and I went over to Providence and had a sonogram on my arteries on both sides of my neck.
Well, you can thank the doctor here. We're not talking about, make sure you don't have an aneurysm or something.
Right.
And I trust you didn't, or you wouldn't be talking to us probably.
Right.
Good.
The doctor said I didn't have any kind of blockage. Thank God for
great.
That.
Great, great.
But I have mental blocks. Yeah, that's the kind of blockage I have.
It's only going to get worse.
Probably so.
Now, I got a technical question in a second here, but I want to mention
real quick, Mike, real quick. Real quick.
I've been camping a lot of times in my life. You wouldn't catch me camping out in the open like you see them on the Western movies. There's rattlesnakes you wouldn't believe in those woods.
I was going to bring that up, but I didn't want to be the kid.
We're getting there, Mike. We're going to talk about that stuff.
Some people have woke up with a big, long 5-footer in their sleeping bag. You do not.
Oh, that might be just genetics. I don't know.
But here's my technical question.
I hate them.
I've never thought about this until I got to thinking about this evening, about it. I've shot just mostly lead shot all my life. I don't think I've ever bought any steel shot for shooting in a shotgun.
Well,
wouldn't that hurt the barrel after a while or whatever?
And unless you're shooting, as they say, waterfowl,
you
just don't need to worry about that.
No.
And if you do, then it's just a lot of extra money. You may need a new barrel.
Yeah,
just,
you get a chrome line
then
barrel
you
for steel
get a,
shot.
A computer program to tell you when you can shoot and how many birds. And so just stay away from waterfowl and you'll be fine.
Well, how about shooting a slug out of a non-slug barrel like people do in their shotgun?
You can shoot a rifle slug out of a smooth barrel.
Yeah, a Savage slug.
Because,
right, that don't work.
Well,
it
playing
either,
the rifle, so it's, in theory, is supposed to turn it kind of like a football or whatever. The
right.
way the rifle slugs are designed, it doesn't do a very good job of doing that. But that's what it's made for.
All right, thank you, Mike. Right, we got to go to the next call, sir. Thank you. All right, we're going to Glenn in Mississippi. Hey, Glenn, glad you could join us.
Hey, how y'all doing?
All right.
Hey, I got a quick question for you guys, and just in terms of prepping. Now, I would call myself an ardent prepper, but this is a question to Travis here. I usually follow the 4 G's of prepping, God, guns, gold, groceries. But my concern is more in terms of if the feces ever hit the fan event happens, like, EMP, super volcano, what do you do in terms of alternative power systems? Like, what kind of power supplies or what kind of alternative power sources can you go to if the lights go out, you have no power? What can you do?
Well, really, the best thing to set up would be a solar system, because you don't have to have a huge solar system to maintain a battery so that you can have lights at night.
Because everything
this sort
that requires
stuff.
Fuel is going to run out of it.
Yeah, because, if you have an EMT, nothing that has a computer in it's going to work anyway. But your solar panels will. So that would be my response to that, is planning ahead with a good solar system.
Okay.
And another thing I might want to mention.
You're not talking about like something from Harbor Freight. You're talking about like something that you install on your roof on your house, correct?
Well, no, you've got portable systems that you can fold out that'll give you 200, 300, 400, 500 watts. And they do take up a little space, but, I'm not going to talk about brands or anything. But
that'd be enough to run one of those mini refrigerators and maybe a couple of lights.
Well, there's some good systems out there, if you don't mind cutting in.
Sure.
There's some good systems. And just a rule of thumb, it's like you don't want to name different brands, but there are some good ones out there. And just with the research that I did, anything American-made is really good.
Well ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. You can get cheaper stuff from China, but if it's American-made, you're going to be well ahead, and you don't have these degradation of the sales over time. Because a lot of times your Chinese stuff that may be only $200 or $300 is going to degrade over time. You may get 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years if it's somewhat high quality. But there are some companies out there that they're guaranteed to put out 85-90% of their designed output 15 years, yeah. You know, after purchase.
That's a long time.
Glenn, one thing to remember, too, and I may assume about it, is if anybody in the family has some kind of essential medicine, you know, a lot of medicines just kind of make it feel better. But let's say you had a heart condition where if you didn't take it, you know, for a day or two, you might get sick or die. You need to think about, you know, 3 or 6 months supply of
yep.
that.
Yep, absolutely.
Stowed away. Now, you know, if you have a acid reflux or something, that's just something you're going to have to live with, you know.
Right.
Good all talking
right.
to you.
All right, okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you, Glenn. Of course, that was Glenn Ramos, guest on the show many, many times.
Last
so
week. Especially.
Thank you, Glenn, for yeah, because Glenn actually filled good in for question. Me last
yep.
week. Always does a really good job. So next on the line here is our compadre, Comrade Alan Bailey.
Woo-hoo. How's it going?
Hey, Alan, glad you could join us tonight.
Yeah, I got a few minutes for you.
Oh, well, good. We're just commenting just from one
Let's
to another.
Let's talk rattlesnakes.
Okay, yeah. The judge says rattlesnakes, so I don't know how much of the show you got a chance to catch before you joined us on the phone. Alan's calling in from Florida, as a matter of fact. So the judge made mention of rattlesnakes, but we can talk about rattlesnakes, we can talk about grizzlies, we can talk about lots of other wildlife that can do you harm.
Well, let's talk about grizzlies because we just came back from Yellowstone. So Alan went up to Glacier.
Yep.
So he had some encounters of grizzlies up there. So some of the things you got to realize is you're in these national parks or you're in this wildlife, how you prep your food, how you even go nature call. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're traveling, you got to understand that where you're at, you know, your surroundings, everything, because we went into a campsite that they 3 or 4 hours before that, there was a grizzly bear walk through.
And some people have fed them and done things to
oh
make
my
right.
God. Yeah.
more.
So, yeah, and you don't realize just the simplest little thing of leaving a wrapper on the ground. You drop a piece of paper that was a candy wrapper or something.
Smell
they smell that for miles away, and they'll come into camp. So you got family members. You got to be careful. You really do. So everything from rattlesnakes to bears to coyotes to wolves, any of that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
You're in these wildlife areas. It's their territory, not yours.
Yeah.
Alan, when y'all went to – of course, y'all went with us to not only to Grand Tetons and Yellowstone, but you guys went on up to Glacier National Park. Is it pretty much the same thing that you have to do there as you would do in Yellowstone or Tetons? What preparations did y'all make?
It's pretty much the same. The bear and bear are just more prevalent up there. We stayed in one of the campgrounds there, and you know, about 5 o'clock at night, the park ranger came by and she was like, "I just want to let you know that you're in the most bear populated campground there is." And I'm like, "Well, all right, whatever. You're just trying to scare us, you know, make sure we pick up our stuff and all that good stuff." So. She goes, yeah, there's about 25 yards back there. There's a bear trail back there, and you'll see them. They'll walk by, and you need to make sure you have all your stuff picked up. So we didn't really pay it much attention. You know, we kept our stuff clean and everything. We're all sitting around a campfire, and my oldest boy, he goes, "Dad, there's a bear back there." I was like, "No, whatever." So sure enough, I looked back, and there's a grizzly bear walking down the trail that the ranger was talking to. You know, it paid us no mind, but, you know, we had our stuff picked up, and put in the bear boxes or locked in the trailer. As long as you do what they tell you to do, I don't really think they're an issue.
I guess it depends. You got grizzly bears here, out there, and then in our city we've got wolves that may take advantage of you.
Yeah, snatch so, dogs.
Yeah, yeah, it just kind
snatch
of depends,
a pit.
You know. I told you that case had the wolf pack attacked the poor guy. Folks, we got we're up against a break, but give us a call, 251-343-0106. Any question you want, but if you want to focus in on what we're talking about, overland travel, that'd be great. Here on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama, 343-0106, area code 251. And we'll be back after these messages from our sponsors.
And just a reminder here, we have Alabama Overland Southwest Group inside the studio and online with Alan Bailey. So just hang with us. We'll be back with more Armed Alabama.
They're walking on the fighting side of me, running down a way of life our fighting men have fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it, let this...
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck. That's our friend Matt Canovey there. We taped that specially for the show. Adam, I'll throw it back to you. Since I can't see anything where I am.
I'm so glad you can join us tonight. We've got one more segment, I think, left on the show. We have in the studio here with us Alabama Overland Group, and we're here talking about overland travel, which is basically outdoor adventure travel, and camping and gear and vehicles and everything that you need for that. So we want to thank these guys and gals for joining us. We have Travis and Kathy Rayner here in the studio with us, and Thomas Mahoney. And on the phone, we have Alan Bailey, who's calling in from Florida. So thank you for joining us.
Undisclosed location.
Yeah, some undisclosed location. That's right. So just before we went to the break, Travis, you had made mention of a big consideration when you're in bear country.
Well, yes, and this was something that we just never really thought about, because when you're out in the woods camping and you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth, you know, you spit your toothpaste on the ground by the stump or whatever. If you're in bear country, that's a bad thing, because bears love the spearmint. They love that minty, that smell, and they can smell it for miles away, and they will be helping you brush your teeth in the morning. And I think Alan and I have had
part of a Coke on the ground.
Yes, you don't put anything on the ground.
No.
And Alan and I and others, we had the conversation about toothpaste and everything else and grizzly bears, and it can be a bit frightening, but if you're doing it the right way, it's not a big deal.
Well, Davy Crockett killed him a bar when he was only three. So why worry?
So, Alan, I've got a question for you, buddy. We have one of our listeners, actually, that's joined us on Facebook Live. I wish there's a lot of people right now on Facebook Live. It's crazy how many people are on here and commenting and asking questions and making comments to each other. But I've got a question here from I've lost my place now. Yeah, so a question for you, Alan, is from Barrett. I won't give his last name, but Barrett has a question for Alan. Is how do you roll your 4Runner back over?
No, it takes a couple of quick acting fools that's got winches on their FJs, and they just hook up to the sliders and roll you back over.
Yeah, I was one of those.
That cuts deep, wherever Barrett is. That's deep.
Yeah, definitely. So if you didn't garner from the comment and the answer there, Alan had rode over his 4Runner, which was really, really nice 4Runner, and of course, well, it's on 35s too with an Icon suspension. Is that correct?
Kings.
It's got full Kings under it.
Kings. Okay. And so yeah, when you get on mountain roads, it's easy to tip one over. With you not even realizing it. I'd done the same thing. I didn't quite roll over, but before I realized it, we were out on the edge of a mountain road, kind of let a Jeep pass. And
that adrenaline moment.
Oh, yeah. And that side of the road actually gave away, and that whole vehicle just slid right out to the side. And believe it or not, our driver's side tires, front and rear driver's side, actually hooked the edge of the road, and that's the only thing.
It's always annoying when passengers scream too when that happens.
Well, I was screaming. I was the one. I was driving, and I was screaming.
Found out you were the one screaming.
Yeah, that was me. So, but that kept us from rolling down a hill. So, Alan, I know that's kind of a spooky moment when you wind up on the top and wheels in the air.
It happened quick, but it was all in slow motion. It goes right back to what was said earlier in our show about not being alone out there doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Luckily, like I said, we had 4 or 5 rigs with us, and I saw what happened and acted quick and got it back on all fours again. So,
usually wheels up is an aviation term, But yeah. Not in your case, huh?
Yeah. Kind of like a turtle.
Yeah. It is green. It is green, so he was turtling there.
Yeah, and that goes back to the point of having some knowledge about vehicle recovery.
Yeah.
And having the right equipment because we
and
were able
to
roll him.
And not just waiting until you're in that situation to think about it.
Yeah, we were able to get him rolled back over pretty quick and get him going again. It was a group of guys, and we just were able – everybody had their spot, and we just did it really fast. So.
Yeah, those nice spotlights are good when it's dark, too. And yeah. I've got a whole back – I've got too many emergency too much emergency gear was taking up my whole back of my F-150, but you know it's one of those things you need it.
Go buy it. We got just a few more minutes, and man, we had so much to talk about, and we haven't really got to a lot of the things that we wanted to talk about, and that is some of the places that we went. And I just kind of got I was actually shocked when I started listening to some of the places that we went together as a group because it's difficult to go to these places, you know, by yourself. You know, you may have a very capable rig, and Alan Bailey has probably one of the most capable rigs I know, him and Thomas. And you know, he wound up on the roof, you know. So, just to make a quick list, some of the national parks was that we've been to, or I went to the Rocky Mountain National Park and Mammoth, of course, Smoky Mountain. And then we went to, together, we went to a couple years ago, Thomas and Alan and I, we went to, and of course, with Alan's boys, we went to Hurricane Creek, which is in East Tennessee, right there on the eastern side of the Smoky Mountains. Went up the Hurricane Creek Trail, Tennessee Gulf Trail, Max Patch, which is really a bald mountaintop, is about 4,680 feet up or something like that. Wolf Creek Falls, Boomer Den, these are all like trail areas there, and just very, very scenic. And of course, we went out west, and Travis joined us as well to Colorado Springs. Went through Breckenridge, Jackson, Wyoming, Grand Tetons, Yellowstone. Went into Montana a little bit, Bighorn, which I really want to go back to Bighorn. Of all the places that we kind of went in the area, I really would like to go back there and stay because it is very, very rugged area.
Yeah. It's very beautiful, too. It's just the mountain ranges and just the scenery. And, I mean, I've lived on my whole life so far on the East Coast, and you go out there and it's just you can see forever. You can. It's just gorgeous.
It's especially amazing to have the stars, the light pollution over here, and humidity. Just, you can hardly see any stars here, and you get out there.
And some of the other places along with the Bighorn was the Badlands area, South Dakota, Custer State Park, Mount Rushmore.
I'd like to see where Custer was killed. Because he, you know,
we drove
a bad
right
guy
there.
in the war for Southern independence. I think he got what he had coming to him.
So that's just some of the places that we've been. I mean, we've been to lots of others, but just trying to give an example. But one thing, you know, we've kind of went from time to time just local places. You don't have to go way out west to find some nice places. And I think Camp Perry or Lake Perry over in Mississippi, we can all agree that that's a good location. And then Frank Jackson State Park. What's probably one of your favorites, Thomas?
Probably Talladega National Forest.
That's a really, really good one.
It's really beautiful. There's a lot of places that are local in Alabama and Florida and Mississippi that you can go to just on a weekend trip. I mean, 5 hours away, and you can be in some of those beautiful country you've ever seen.
Yeah. Real quick, Travis, what's your favorite place locally?
Locally? Well, I'd have to go back to Talladega, but this past weekend we were over in Blackwater, north of Pensacola, and we spent a day back in the National Forest area there. Very nice, very nice.
Alan, while you're on the line with us, buddy, what's one of your favorite local locations to go and, you know, camp, hang out, ride around?
I would fall back on Blackwater as well. It's here local. It's less than an hour away from me, so I could go play around out there whenever I want. But I'd say my favorite within the east side of the – I'd say probably Cherokee area. So.
Yeah, nice. Are you talking about in North Carolina, you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, me as well. I think eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina. We're coming to the end
My
of our
favorite,
show.
If you want to know,
oh, yes.
The downtown entertainment district. That's where I prefer to hang out.
That could be pretty wild. Yeah. All right, catch us next week on Armed Alabama. I want to thank the Alabama Overland Southwest Group for joining us tonight. So thank you for being in the studios.
Thank you for having us.
You catch us next week and go to our Facebook page. We'll have this show still on our Facebook page there. You can watch it at your leisure. So catch us next week for more Armed Alabama.